Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Now, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Just like the ones I used to know.
Bert, how you doing? You feel good? You feel healthy?
Great. Yes, I'm feeling fantastic.
Good, that makes one of us in this studio.
Zoe, you love a good, like, wild animal story, right? Like, you
hell
love the,
yeah.
The shark stuff. I got a great one from this morning.
Really?
Yeah, Bearcat really?
Coming your house? You guys got to answer this for me. I'm out for my morning run. And about 100 yards.
Nothing like sliding that in.
About 100 yards in front of me.
You see
right?
Coyote, deer, fox,
I don't
bobcat.
Know what it was.
Bobcat.
I swear I think it was a wolf. Okay.
Coyote.
No, but here's the thing. It's like it crossed like about 100 yards in front of me. It's got like a bushy tail.
Yep.
Okay. It's gray.
Coyote.
Like, so it's not. Okay.
Well,
it's
coyote. Then its back end bounce up and down.
It was like the size of a German shepherd.
Yeah. Coyote.
They aren't that big, are they?
Yes, they are.
There's because they're that big.
Yep. The ones they look dogs, actually remarkably similar to a German Shepherd sometimes.
Okay, because I thought they were like the size of a fox.
No, they're way bigger than that. Foxes are much smaller.
Their back ends bounce.
You saw a coyote.
Because I thought it was a wolf. But I like because I was like, that's bigger than a coyote. I just.
They're bigger than you think they'd be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I figured it was a wolf.
Coyotes are more.
I was like, that looks way bigger than
a plus, nobody messes with them here. It's not like they're in danger of being hunted, you know. They're out there. They eat. They eat well.
They eat dogs and cats.
They're huge.
They eat everybody's cats, right?
Yeah. Like they're massive.
Yeah. You always hear them scream. Someone's tearing a cat.
Yeah, you hear them like where we're at. You hear them from time to time at night. Like I heard one when I was up Sunday night working. I heard a little bit like that wasn't a dog. You know what I mean? Like it definitely probably was some sort of coyote.
Well, there are the foxes. Will sit there in the mating season now, and they'll scream at night. Like it sounds like some cats.
We have a lot of fox
like
in my
babies
town.
Crying.
That
and
a lot of
fisher cats also do that.
Yeah,
too.
Fisher cats have that whine. Yeah.
Fisher cats are vicious, right?
Yeah, those are nasty.
Like, that's like that. That is not the animal you want to run into. Because that's like the.
Well, you're not going to really run it. They're going to be afraid of you.
Yeah,
but fisher cats, they don't.
When it comes to like your pets. Then I think you don't want your cats near one of those.
Like they're ruthless.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Very very disgusting animals.
Yeah.
Yeah. You saw a coyote though. I'm pretty confident in telling you. You saw a coyote.
Okay. I just figured it was too big to be a coyote. That's all. Like I didn't think they were German Shepherd size, but if they are, then I'm willing to accept.
They're like big. They're that big, but they're like a little thinner than that. That's all it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
But bushy tail.
Yep.
Okay.
You have a hoof.
A paw.
Yeah.
The paws. Bert Breer is with us. We have a lot to get to with Bert Breer. Quite a few things, but let's start on the Patriots front. We've talked a little bit today about Sony Michel and where Sony Michel sort of ranks in the league and sort of his importance to the team. First of all, how good do you think he has been for the team to this point?
I thought he was pretty impressive on Sunday. I think you saw flashes of who he could be on Sunday. Can you be a top 10, top 15 back in the league? Like, I don't think he's ever going to be Gurley or Zeke or Joe Mixon or one of those guys who like you can build an entire offense around, but I think he's bottom of the top 10, top 15 type of back.
We got him at like 16 right now.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah. We did a little exercise. Yeah.
The thing about running backs is you usually know right away. It's not one of those positions where like a guy struggles for 2 years and then all of a sudden, I mean, that's happened before, but usually most of these guys, you know, right away what they are. And so if you put him at 16th, like that makes sense to me, and that maybe he gets a little bit better. Like I said, he's never going to be Todd Gurley or someone like that. But
we're talking top five picks, Gurley, Zeke, those are guys that you invest in the entire draft to go up and get.
Right. Those are different guys.
Right.
Yeah.
But we did the plays of the week with Belichick yesterday, and he did two of the end zone shots of two of Sony's long runs. And he said, now here, when you scheme this, he goes, we're going to completely block to the right side. Pull the backside left guard. We got Devlin leading up here. Here's Rob, you know, reaching here. He said, if Sony stays up here inside, he's going to gain 4 yards. It's going to be a good run gun to that side. For whatever reason, he does a sidestep, and he sees something backside.
And he goes.
And that's where he comes out of the gate. He said, that's the stuff that we saw at Georgia.
Generates.
You know, it's going to be a good play if he sticks with it. He made a good play into a much better play.
And you can't.
By taking it into his own hands. And he said, that's a great cut. We didn't teach him to do that. That's an instinct of the player.
Because you can't teach that.
You can't. That's on the player.
He has it. And then, you know, you see that he has it and you don't coach it out of him because it can turn 4 yards
right
into 40.
He said, here's where the play is supposed to go, and here's where he went, and ends up being a 33-yarder.
God, those Georgia backs, too. Nick Chubb looks awesome for Cleveland.
Chubb looks strong.
They were backing up. I mean, they were all it was all over the broadcast the other day, but they were playing in the same backfield for a year with Todd Gurley.
Yeah, how about
that's
that?
Crazy.
All three of those guys. Would you take Chubb or Sony Michel?
Chubb.
Yeah, we agreed with that. We would take Nick Chubb.
I think
over
he's Sony. Just – he's – Chubb is, like, just more physical.
Yeah.
And, like, Chubb's the kind of guy who – you can comfortably say he could be a guy you'd give the ball 20 to 25 times a game to, and you'd feel good about running your offense that way.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Bert Breer, the MMQB, is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. It was a good day for the Patriots on Sunday, Bert. With the Pittsburgh loss. Very good day for the Patriots. They sort of can, you know, control which way this goes.
It's crazy that, like, Houston's back in it, too. Like, Houston's right there with you, and their schedule is soft the rest of the way, where if you slip up, you might lose the bye to the Texans.
Nah.
It's crazy.
That is the emerging AFC team that I referenced, like, before we went to the break.
I believe they still have the Niners on their schedule.
Who stink.
Like, their schedule the rest of the way is S-O-F-T soft. Here. They've still got the Colts, right?
Yep.
They have the Browns this week.
The Colts aren't bad, though.
They have the Jets.
Not good.
Jacksonville.
Eagles, which is winnable this year.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's a team that could slip up and lose the last game to Jacksonville.
I could see
Jacksonville or the Colts beating them.
I could also see Jacksonville waving a big white flag on that last day of the regular season.
Yeah, but at some point, too, it's pride with them. And
it could be.
Playing that team, like, freaking Texans. Come here, spank them. You know?
Yeah.
No matter how many losses you have. And I know they still got to think they're a better team than what the record is.
The Browns are actually, like, the Browns could pop them. The Browns could come in there and pop them.
Hell yeah, they could.
Yeah.
Are you saying it's less soft than you thought it was a minute ago?
No, I just think that I don't know if they can handle. They've just ripped off 8 in a row.
So they're
not going to rip off 13
they
in
get
a row.
The Colts, I think the Colts are probably the toughest out on that schedule, and it's at home. I think they can beat the Eagles. Now, that's in Philly, so that's a little complicated. The Jets, they should roll. I think it's more likely the Jaguars are just laying down like dogs on December 30th than you're going to get some sort of inspired effort from them. Like, it's not impossible they run the table.
I could see them losing their last two games.
I think 4-1 is possible. Like, I think 4-1, like, them finishing 12-4 is right there, which puts you in jeopardy of losing the number two seed.
You've got two teams that are chasing you now with the same record, both the Texans and the Chargers, the rest of the way. Not to mention, you still have that matchup against Pittsburgh.
Chargers can never get you, though.
And it's...
You know, because they're in the West.
And you know what it is? It's like the records at the top of the conference are being inflated because the bottom of the conference sucks. Like, if you look at the AFC standings, the bottom of the conference is terrible, so you've got a lot of inflated records at the top.
But there's better high-end teams in the AFC, I think, this year than there was last year.
I would agree with that.
The top of the conference is better than it was a year ago.
And the bottom is worse.
What about the Patriots win on Sunday instills any more confidence in you in this team to keep winning like this or keep winning at this rate?
I think this is how they have to win now. Like, I don't know that there's any way around it.
Ugly.
Like, look.
Just win.
I mean, this is the way, this is who they are. Like, I don't think that they're going to morph into something different over the next few weeks. That's not a horrible thing. It's just, like, I think you're going to have to win in a different way than you've won the last few years because Gronk isn't the same player. I don't think Edelman's quite the same player. I mean, the offense is going to be scratching and clawing for answers, which I think is why Michelle is so key, because I think Sony Michelle might be the one thing that you can put it. He might be like the guy that you base the offense around to kind of give yourself some consistency.
He may be your savior, and you combine him with a healthy Burkhead. If Burkhead could stay healthy for these six games, you combo Michelle and him together, you might be able to keep Sony a little fresh in his legs.
One of the guys
Burkhead
said,
hits the hole as good as anybody.
One of the guys said it after the game, like that Bill challenged them. Like, we have to run the ball today. We have to learn how to run the ball. And they actually took that Jets game, and I feel like part of the reason why it was tight deep into the third quarter was because Bill was very, very committed to establishing the run game, right? Like, we're going come hell or high water, we're going to establish it.
You could have come out. You're right. You could have came out and you chucked it 55 times.
Right.
But it was 31-30.
Yeah. I
so this is like a better plan. I would say this is sort of like 2015, but this is a better plan this time around to sort of establish the run.
Because you're not doing it on, like, New Year's Day.
With a guy who was on the street weeks earlier.
Yeah, you're not doing it. You're not doing it on New Year's Day.
So this is a team that doesn't have everything that it may have had in the last couple of years. Yeah. And now they're going to have to do it by focusing on some things and needing certain things.
Package delivered?
Well, that sounded like the opening to the old to an old movie.
So you got
to
focus.
Tinkerbell came floating in.
You're about to anger.
It's Touchstone. This is the opening of the Touchstone movies.
I tried.
Was that the one with the unicorn? Wait,
are you absolving yourself of blame now? It was your phone that went off.
You're thinking of TriStar, where that horse turns the corner and it comes up.
Is that what I said?
It's a horse with wings.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Pegasus.
I like how Hardy immediately tried to, like, walk away.
It was a momentary lapse where a phone went off and you let it derail you. That's on you. That's not on me. That's on you and him.
If your phone,
you two.
If your phone doesn't go off, I'm not doing anything.
Like, you
can
do nothing when it goes off. You can focus. Focus. Beetle, you were saying?
I don't know.
That they're doing a better job of establishing the run this year than they did when they probably needed to do that in 2015.
Mm. Yes.
Because that wasn't a great team. It was a good team, much like this team's a good team.
Yeah.
A team that could very much be in the mix if it does everything right.
The more I watch this team, the more
their margin for error is shrinking. We know that now. It just is.
The more I watch this team, and I'm going to write about this tomorrow. The more I watch this team, the more I think this was the year that they planned to blow it up and rebuild. That's what I think.
Are you going
to
just leave that as a tease?
No, I'll explain it, okay? I think this was the team that was intended to be built for Jimmy Garoppolo. I think this was the year that they were going to turn the page. If you look at their salary structure, and we've been over this the last few weeks, right?
Yeah.
The six guys who have the highest cap numbers for next year are all 29 or older. They did not get in front of that. And in the past, they probably would have gotten in front of that, right? They may have turned the page like they did in 2009 and 2010. They haven't done that yet.
It's interesting, too, and they're ready to move on from the tight end. Had the trade ready
to
go.
So you think that there are guys that are still here that otherwise wouldn't be here?
Yes, I think that
McCourty, yes, Hightower, yes, those yes. types of players.
I don't know exactly who it is, but I think that this was the turn. I think this was the year that they would have turned the page, but you've got a 41-year-old
Gronkowski
quarterback
included.
Does it make sense that their six highest cap numbers for next year are all guys who are 29 or older?
Well,
that's the league, though.
No, it's a two-part thing, though. It's not a good thing, but it also, I sort of...
If you have a good veteran team,
I also
yes,
think it
is.
Sort of reflects that they haven't had a lot of good talent that they've drafted and developed themselves.
Right, but I'm saying, like, if the Patriots had a 30-year-old quarterback and they operate the way we know they've always operated, is that not something they would have gotten in front of? Like, they wouldn't be in that spot normally if they had a quarterback who says, again, if they had Jimmy Garoppolo, if they had was Jimmy 26, 27, if they had a 27-year-old quarterback, would they have let this happen? Probably not. Right. So, there's a big part of me that looks at this team now and says, are they hanging on to something here because they've got an older quarterback, and at this point, and I'd applaud them for doing it because I don't think that this isn't a criticism of them. I'm just saying, like, is this a team that they've held together for an extra year because they know there's no certainty going forward with a quarterback?
I think it's plausible, for sure. I could totally see that being the case. You have talked about Rob Gronkowski and what you saw on Sunday, which is that he's getting a lot of single coverage.
Yep.
He's not setting coverage the way he once was.
Yep. And that's
not only was he getting single coverage, he was getting free release.
That is not a this week or last week problem. That is a like 2 month problem for them now.
The year.
This is like,
give
like
it the season.
The first 3 weeks of the season, we saw what Detroit did. Like, so like early in the year, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, but see, they're still.
But the Jets, you know what the Jets said? The Jets said, when we put Jamal Adams on you, you cannot get open. And how many times did we see Jamal Adams right there when Brady was trying to throw?
A lot.
Right.
Even on the touchdown, he was right there.
So it tells you you're going to have to pick your spots. But there are times where even having him outflanked to the outside, like the Edelman touchdown, the influence of him being on the sideline and the threat of him going downfield, you got to be aware of it. So corner's there, safety's back. They leave Edelman open on that pop route. Then Gronkowski blocks the corner. And next thing you know, Edelman's diving in the end zone.
It's not to say he's useless.
But I'm saying that's the effect he has. And I know the catches and targets aren't up there.
If you guys want me to give you a couple of things that I've gathered for the story that I'm going to be writing tonight, that'll be up on the site tomorrow. Here you go. Biggest issue on this is from an executive of a team that played the Patriots this year. Biggest issue they have on offense is that Brady doesn't have the matchup guys he had before. Gronk looks old, banged up, and slow. Edelman's not the same, getting older, and doesn't have the same explosive quickness now. So that's from one.
We've talked about both of those issues in recent weeks.
No Deion Lewis, and you still have James White.
Okay, but, so here's another one. I think you have to look at the health and the decline in play or less consistency from Gronk. He's still capable of the injuries. It hasn't been week to week this year. His performance, it's got to be frustrating to Brady. The math on offense isn't the same for them. So this isn't something we're inventing here. This isn't something that just the eye test. It's like other teams are not throwing a lot of defense at him. Like they're throwing one. They're saying we can. And here's the deal. It's like we said last week. It's team saying, yes, he's still capable of the circus catch, okay? And if he's going to make the circus catch on him, on us, it probably doesn't matter if we have two guys on him, right? Like, he's probably going to go up and get the ball anyway. So if he makes that circus catch, God bless him. But we don't think he can run away from anyone anymore. And so we're comfortable putting one guy on him. And again, if he can go up top and the ball's in the perfect spot, like, maybe there's...
Great, he can make a catch, but where's he going with it?
Right. That's the way that
there'll be someone there to take him down.
And that affects everyone because now instead of there being two guys or coverage rolling that way, they're playing him straight up. And so now that means Julian Edelman is operating in a different environment. It means Chris Hogan is operating in a different environment. Every single player on that offense, James White, all of those guys are operating in a different environment because there's no one that the defense is saying we have to take this guy away.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Yuck.
617-779-0985. It's okay if I put this on the desk here, Zoe?
Just to show that off.
That's pretty nice.
Isn't it?
It's a cop. Some cop painted that.
No, it's Tom in Worcester. It's our good friend Tom in Worcester.
He sings.
Nice
he's a cop.
There.
He sent me that. This is an original painting.
He has great wood.
He did of Tom Brady. You got to check out his website, tomsbrush.com. Does really great work. Zoe has a painting of Brady. Mm. That he gave him.
A
large one.
Yep. Very nice one.
Very large.
Signed
one.
By the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Brody's room. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Great work.
It's nice.
Fabulous work.
Yep.
Look how nice that is.
A lot
is.
Of good colors in there.
Very, very vibrant.
Yep.
A real Renaissance man.
That looks good. Looks
good
on TV, too. Wow.
Does it? Yeah. Yeah.
Pops.
I will leave it there for a couple minutes. It's a nice Tom Brady picture. 617-779-0985. That's a great song, so you don't know what you're talking about.
What is that, anyway?
Elevate.
By who?
It's St. Lucia. Is that who that is?
Yeah. I've been to St. Lucia, so that will stay. I like St. Lucia.
Mike is in Framingham.
Mike, Framingham. Hello?
Hey, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. Go ahead. I came in late. The guy that was...
Is it like two phone calls at once?
He's got a radio on.
I don't think that's what it is, Mike. We'll put you on hold. We'll try and figure that out. That was not his radio because it was happening too fast.
Yeah.
There was just some odd echo in the line.
It's like someone hacked into his phone call or something.
As soon as he figured it out, he had to sit there and keep going.
Hello? Hmm? Can you hear me? Oh, thanks for taking a call, guys.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for calling in, guys.
You are such a child. I don't know what's worse.
You just want me to let that go?
You're doing that.
Can we just let that go?
Freaking out about Artie's phone going off. I don't know what's worse between the two of you.
TriStar Pictures.
Oh, my God. What do you think of Artie's beard, Bert?
Here we go. Yeah, we knew we had to get to this today.
47-year-old, like, drunk uncle or something.
Yeah, rugged.
Rugged drunk uncle. Yeah. Thank you.
It'll fit well with, like, a Christmas sweater, you know?
Not really, but, yeah. Like, if he goes to L.L. Bean, he could sit there and wrap presents, like an apron on.
Yeah.
It looks like he works at L.L. Bean.
Oh, yeah. Are they hiring?
Well, he'd be taking
like holiday hours?
It's included, but you have to wait if you want the stitching, if you get it the monogram. You have to wait like 20
You're
minutes.
You're a couple of years away from being
like, he answered a question I didn't ask.
Right. I have no idea what he's even talking about.
I love
about.
That station. They have a station. You buy the stuff. They boom, you go over there. They wrap it. Or if you're going to get stitched, like if you're getting the beach bags or the your backpack stitched, they monogram it or the monogram jacket.
Sounds like
you got to wait 20 minutes.
Sounds like a rent them outlet type of thing.
Nope. It's
Legacy.
I
thought they're at Legacy.
It's at Mansfield Crossing.
The Mansfield Crossing. Yep.
Nice
one. Yep.
Legacy's
got one.
Yeah. I bought some.
That's what I want. The big boot.
Adirondack chairs there.
A what?
Whoa.
What kind of
Adirondack
chairs?
There you go. Adirondack chair.
You guys know what those are?
My favorite Adirondack chair is the ones that exist at Chatham Bars Inn. Because they sit in that first cut. Yep. And you just sit there and you stare at that harbor. And the best thing about when you sit on those Adirondack chairs at the Chatham Bars Inn.
All we need now is a Sarge Sucks call to go through this cycle.
They have an outdoor martini bar, Bert. It'd be your place. And you see this little island in the middle of the harbor.
I've been to the Chatham Bars Inn.
When the tide comes in, you know, you don't see the island. Then when that tide goes out.
Yeah,
all those seals go right on that island, and then that's when the tide comes in. The sharks—that's
pretty cool.
They're in there though, but yeah,
shark watch over here.
Yeah, back you can sit there and watch sharks get eaten.
I feel partially responsible for that L.L. Bean policy changing about the lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. I think Hardy was the guy that sort of set it off
because
he had some Adirondack chairs that were bought many years ago, and he brought them back, and they were like, "Sure, we'll give you new ones." And they did, didn't they?
No, the paint's chipping off. I'm unsatisfied. I want some composite ones.
Where's this at?
They gave me full credit, and I got the brand new ones.
How about that?
We're at.
All you got to do is say something. That's
Legacy.
All you got to do.
LLB?
All you got to do is say something and have no shame.
That's him.
You're just describing to a T.
Mike in Framingham, let's try this again.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me now?
Hey. Yes.
I know. I was getting in my car, and I was switching over to hands-free. That's what screwed everything up.
Nah.
The guy that was talking earlier about teams not doubling Gronk and all this other stuff, where did you get this information? Because I heard
Belichick
in an interview.
Yeah.
What was that?
I mean, it changes week to week, but predominantly against the Jets, he was not double covered, and he had free release all day long,
yep.
Meaning they aren't jamming him. Usually, when Gronk is right, there's a guy on the line of scrimmage that jams him, then there's somebody that picks him up from the inside backup position with a safety over the top.
Well, the reason why I'm saying this, I heard an interview with Belichick. Sometimes he's watching the game. He doesn't know because things change. There's line calls that change.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff that changes. And the only time he really gets it done, gets the information, is when they're doing the video and he has all the players together.
Yeah.
Bill was asked about this last week, and he definitely danced around it. You guys hear that question?
Yeah, because he doesn't want to talk about it.
Because he doesn't want to concede
the
truth. Like, yeah,
plus, the guy hasn't played in a month, so it's hard to answer.
I think that's what Mike in Framingham is referring to.
Yeah.
Is that answer last week.
Which was like, he didn't answer the question because
we don't know week to week how a guy's going to get covered.
Depends on how anyone's going to get covered.
Which was dodging the question.
Which is him not wanting to admit it, which is fine. If you put it out there and say, yeah, everyone's single covering Gronk, then if there was anyone that wasn't paying attention, they're not going to say, oh, well, we should do the same thing.
Right.
So he's not gonna gift wrap it to you.
And it's also figure sort it out of like it's also sort of conceding what is like a shot at your player.
Right.
You know? And so he's not gonna do
he's
that.
He's not gonna
either.
Do that either.
Yeah.
So they're not gonna do that. You're talking about him not, you know, he gets the free release, so he's slow off the line.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I think it's the most noticeable.
But the touchdown catch, it was a free release. That's how he got up on that safety.
We had earlier in the week, Bert, we had to give Mike Lombardi credit. As much as it pains me to give Mike Lombardi credit for things, he was so right about Gronk at the start of the year.
Yeah.
He was dead on about Rob Gronkowski, saying that he's a builder of speed and he's really going to get up and get going and get down the field, exactly like what we saw on the touchdown that he had.
Yep.
Right? That play's going to be there, but they're not going to go to that well every time.
Yep.
The guy's going to be dead by the end of a game if that's what they're trying to do every play. So you go, you pick your spots with that, but that's not what he's best used for.
Yeah. And he's... I'm just telling you, like, this is not the same guy. And what I would say is he's fighting his ass off.
We're going
to
give
him credit for that. He's fighting his ass off to be still productive. And he's doing that. He's just not the same guy.
We're going to the podium. Here's Bill Belichick speaking live.
As usual, a tremendous job with his team. And, you know, 13-3 last year. We saw a little bit of them at the end of the year. And then obviously this year, getting the schedule, a team we weren't familiar with. Spent some time on the off season, and it looks like to me they're even better than they were last year. They're a very, very, very good football team. They have good talent. They're really well coached. Defensively, this is as good a coaching as we'll face. I think Mike does a tremendous job with fundamentals, with their schemes. They're very, very challenging, particularly in the critical situations, third down, red area, 2 minute, things like that. They're very good. He's a great coach and has been for a long time, and has that unit playing extremely well. And offensively, they just have a tremendous, explosive group of skilled players. The receivers, the tight end, the quarterback, the backs, they're just, everybody can and does make big plays. They move the ball, score points, and very explosive in a kicking game. Coach Prefer's done, as usual, a great job with that unit. Nobody's scored more than they have over the last 7 years in a kicking game. Returns, block kicks, a very aggressive unit, and they do everything well. They have a lot of good players, veteran players, young players, have a good mix, and just really good in all three areas. So playing well. Impressive game against Green Bay Sunday night. So we know it's going to be a big challenge for us here, and we're going to have to play our best football, and hopefully that's what we'll be ready to do Sunday afternoon.
I wanted to ask you a few questions about their defense. With the Zimmer connection, how similar are they to maybe what the Bengals do?
Some similarities. I think he's evolved some things. Look, Mike's a game plan coach. He does a great job of scheming and planning for the team he's playing against. So based on what you do, then he's going to do something to attack you. If you do something else, then he's going to do something else. So depends on what you do. That's what you're going to see.
For the offense, is a big part of the pre-snap just figuring out where Harrison Smith is and what he's up to.
Harrison Smith does a great job with pre-snap disguise. He's one of the best, Smith, Ed Reed, Polamalu, those guys are say among the best. He's certainly right there. He's a hard guy to read. He does an excellent job of timing his movement based on either the quarterback's cadence, the offensive formation, motion, the play clock, all those combination of things. He does an excellent job of using some or all of them to put the offense in a difficult position to account for him or to not account for him when he splits in and so forth. He's really good.
Does what they do with the safeties remind you maybe of the Bills, kind of what they do there too?
All teams try to disguise what they do. So I would just say Smith is really good at it. He's a player, and he's, a strong tackler. He's good against the pass. He's good against the run. He makes a lot of plays. But in addition to that, he causes a lot of problems for the offense in terms of running game, whether to crack them, when not to crack them, who's got them, blitzes. Protect him, don't protect him. He's a disruptive guy before the ball snapped, to put it that way. And then he's a good player after the ball snapped, too.
So they got to, pick your poison in the passing game between Diggs and Bill and the rest of the guys, how to get them the ball.
They're all good. Yeah, they're all good. So, yeah, they're every one of them. Robinson, Treadwell, Thielen, Diggs, Rudolph. The backs, quarterback, take your pick. They're all good.
Has there been significant change from last year on the offense with Cousins didn't get more love versus what they were doing last year.
Yeah, well, we didn't overanalyze last year because we didn't never had to face that coordinator or that quarterback. So this year it's really about DeFilippo and Cousins, and that's who we've studied and that's who we've worked on. So I don't know. You have to ask them about that.
Can you speak to the level of maybe commitment that Rex has been able to show since he went down earlier this year, being able to get to a position where he is able to come back to the 53-man roster?
Yeah, Rex has worked really hard, as he always does. So we talked about it when I made the move, and I talked to him about it. We had a lengthy discussion. I think we both had a good understanding of what the situation was, what needed to be done, how to do it. And he's been very diligent and consistent with his approach to it. And I'd say as we got closer to the opportunity to bring him back to being eligible to practice and then ultimately being eligible to play, he consistently met or exceeded kind of targets or things that he needed to show or do or be able to do to move forward. So, yeah, he's done a great job. And look forward to having him back.
What difference is preparing for a bigger slot receiver like Doolin versus an even more traditional small one?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a problem wherever he is, but he's a problem inside. He has really good length, great hands, big catch radius. He's always open, and Cousins is very accurate, can get him the ball. Cousins is throwing the ball very well. His completion percentage is right at the top of the league. So, yeah, Thielen's not always in there, but he's in there a lot, but then he's... Yeah, he's a tough matchup. He's a tough matchup wherever he is, but he's a tough matchup inside.
He's been such a different player in that position than just the size of the receiver who's
been 6'3" corners don't grow on trees now. They're hard to find. So, but yeah, look, there's a lot. Again, like I said, there's a lot of problems they present on offense. You could maybe solve one of them, and then you got just even less to deal with all the other guys. So you can, take everything as it is and see how you match up, or you can try to take something away. But if you try to take something away, you're just, putting more pressure on everybody else. And there's a lot of other good players out there too, whichever one you pick. So you can make a case for putting your attention on any number of guys. And then there's the rest of them. So they do a good job of making it hard for you, and they do an excellent job getting the ball down the field. They complete a lot of passes. They're very good with the ball in the hands, catch and run plays, yards after catch, like most West Coast offenses are, but these guys are hard to tackle. They're good runners of the ball, so, yeah, it's hard. They do a really good job.
Bill, have you been impressed with the mental toughness of the Vikings this year? They've had a very tough schedule. They had to play New Orleans, they had to go to L.A., and they just seem to keep battling, whether it's in the game or from week to week. Even when they have a loss, they respond.
Of course, they're a mentally tough team. They have a mentally tough coach. This is a good football team, and they've been a good football team, and they keep getting better. So I think you can see the progress in this team over the last several years. It's been consistent, and they've made some changes, but looks like the changes are for the better, and they've improved their team. But yeah, they're mentally tough, play in and play out, game in and game out. They've dealt with some injuries, and they've just kept right on rolling. So I have a lot of respect for their coaching staff, job that Rick Spielman's done building the team, the job that Mike does, and their entire staff. Prefer, DeFilippo. They've been very good every week. I mean, we've seen them on film plenty of times this year in crossover games with our division teams who play the NFC North and the other NFC North teams we've seen, Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago. So we've seen plenty of crossover film on these guys. I mean, they're great to watch. We've learned a lot from watching them offensively, defensively, in the kicking game to help us game plan for our opponents and seeing them do it. Now we see them and they're tough.
Is having Cook back healthy for them, is that help even diversify their offense more recently?
Yeah, it's another guy that's hard to stop. I mean, so two really good backs. Plus Abdullah. He's shown up in the kickoff return, so I'm sure if they used him in their offensively, he's another weapon. He's another dangerous guy. So, BB's giving him plays. Robinson's giving him plays offensively, along with the guys you know about, Rudolph, Treadwell, Thielen, and Diggs. So they just keep bringing more guys out there, and luckily there's only one ball, so they got a lot of people to get it to, though.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, powered by Oakers Company, New England's premier technology and audiovisual solution provider for over 97 years. Visit OCKERS.com. Oakers, technology for tomorrow.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.